Tomatoes are the most common vegetables in which people grow. There are some individuals whom I know that do not care for or like tomatoes, but I am still friends with them.
Some people only grow tomatoes. Like, they might grow a bunch of flowers, and then they grow tomatoes because they just love that homegrown tomato taste.
And there are about 4,300 different diseases or problems your tomato plant can have. We're going to cover about seven of the most common diseases and the ones that we have dealt with and how you can reduce and remove or prevent these problems from occurring.
Right. So early blight, this is a very common problem. Now, early blight occurs, or you know you have early blight because your tomato plants start to yellow, typically
the leaves,
at the bottom, and then it spreads through the top of your plant. By the time it's ready to harvest, you have just like a yellow stalk with tomatoes growing on it.
It is in everybody's soil.
Right. There's good things and bad things in your soil, and early blight is one of the bad things in your soil. It's in everybody's soil, no matter what you do to your soil, it's still there.
You hear people on the internet videos, I've moved my tomatoes to prevent early blight. That's not the actual conventional mechanism here.
Ask for like resistant varieties of tomatoes. But you don't have to worry about that because we're going to give you some things to work with here.
It's a three-step process.
Step one, you need to get whole grain cornmeal. So it has to be yellow. So yellow whole grain cornmeal. So think, okay, there's the cheapo stuff. You want to step it up a bit and get the yellow whole grain cornmeal. And what you want to do at the time of planting is you take a handful of it after you've planted the tomato and just put it around the base of the plant.
If the tomato is already currently in the ground, you can go ahead out in the garden right now after the program's over and take one handful and just sprinkle around the base of the tomato plant.
And I know this sounds crazy, but it works.
We've had a number of people over the last 4 years come up to us since we've been instructing this particular aspect of tomato disease prevention and saying, I thought you guys were crazy, I didn't think it would work, but I have had the best tomatoes I've ever had since using the tomato, the whole grain cornmeal tip, putting around the base. Now, you can also reapply. We reapply about the middle of the growing season just to add a little more punch to that trichoderma to fight that early blight disease that's in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
That's step one, the whole grain cornmeal.
Yeah, step two is you're going to mulch around your tomatoes. You can mulch around your whole garden, but mulching around plants that are susceptible to diseases like tomatoes is good. This allows the less of the water to splash up, less of the soil to splash up. We use things like leaves. You can use straw. You can use pine straw, pine needles, pine straw, whatever you want to call it, or chemical and weed seed free grass clippings. So if it's been a while since you cut your grass and they're full of weed seeds, don't add those to your garden. Or if you spray or somebody else sprays your lawn, you don't want to add those grass clippings. But if it's just your regular straight long grass clippings, let them dry, and those make a great mulch.
You, 2, 3, 4 inches, a barrier prevention mechanism in order to prevent the soil from splashing up on the leaves. And step number three in the early blight disease prevention trifecta here.
Trifecta. The program.
Yeah.
With this simple, easy program. So this is Joey's job. What he does is he prunes the bottom portion of the tomato 6 to 8 inches. Not right away, but when you plant your tomatoes, you do want to trim them. He does this twice?
Every 3 weeks.
Why am I telling them this when
it's
your job?
Every 3 weeks throughout the growing season, I'll go through and we plant about 110 tomatoes, and I trim the bottom 6 to 8 inches from a soil level up the plant, leaving the stalk alone, but removing any of the foliage and or canopy pieces that are potentially have the opportunity to have soil splashing up on them. If the canopy, if there's a limb that's leaning, I'll cut it in half. It doesn't hurt the plant to do this, and we want to take those clippings and throw them away because there are some diseases that are on those leaves.
So don't burn them. Don't put them in your compost. Don't put them on the street for the city. Put them directly into your
garbage. Even with the heavy mulching that we do, there is still some splash up that does occur and other diseases, so we want to keep that clean as well as the mulch and the whole grain cornmeal. Now, if you've mulched and you're halfway through the season, you're going to apply the whole grain cornmeal, you can pull back the mulch a little bit, throw it on the ground, cover it back up on that. So another problem we're going to talk about is blossom end rot. The discoloration of the bottom of the fruit as it develops, and then you have a red tomato or purple tomato, whatever the case is, and it's all rotten and black on the bottom of the fruit.
Right. So this is not technically a pest or disease. It's a physiological problem, but this occurs for a lot of people. So that's why we wanted to talk about it. And what happens is that this is because of a lack of access. Your plant is having a lack of access to calcium in the soil. So a lot of people will think, oh, I have blossom end rot. You know, somebody told me to spray, to put magnesium sulfate or Epsom salt around the base of my plant and water it in. And a lot of people think this helps the blossom end rot. But what's going on is that your soil is super dry. Your plant doesn't have access to the calcium in the soil. So you water your plants in that process, and then all of a sudden the plants are okay. But that's because you gave your plants access to calcium again.
Yeah, the calcium is locked up in the soil, unaccessible to the plant because the soil is so dry. We water, it releases that available calcium for the plant to uptake. Simple as that. So continue to water on a regular basis. You want your garden soil to be the consistency of a damp sponge. Not soggy, not super dry, but a damp sponge. Now, the upper levels of the soil web, couple of the inch or two on the top of the soil and down, is going to be a different moisture consistency than the 2 or 3 inches below that where the typical root system of a tomato plant would be. So you can kind of gauge and experiment and take a trowel out there and dig and see, okay, I'm 3 inches down. This is what the moisture consistency is. Additionally, with that and watering, the mulch application will also reduce the amount of evaporation in the soil, which will allow the plants to uptake more calcium when it's required because it's not so dry, it's locked out. So the benefit of the mulch is twofold. One, to prevent the soil splash up, and two, to hold the moisture in, less watering, more available calcium for the plant to pick up, or the necessary nutrients overall. Because it's not just the calcium that gets locked out. There's other nutrients that when the soil is completely dry, the plant can't access any of it because there's no moisture to transmit it from soil to plant, roots and up the stalk.
Right. So our next one is bacterial spot. This is not something that we see or we have seen, but a lot of people do seem to get it. This is something that is kind of like early blight. It lives in your soil, but it affects your plants. So what you would want to do it affects your fruit.
Yeah, what's the visual sign? What are we looking at if we have had or might have?
It kind of looks like late blight a little bit, but it's like spottiness on, like, large spots,
okay.
Dark spots.
So for people who are not familiar with what late blight is, on the fruit, on the actual, let's say it's a red tomato, because many people grow red tomatoes, it's as if somebody came in with a black magic marker and kind of put stripes and dots on that. Is that kind of what we're visualizing of what it may occur?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe brown.
Brown.
Yeah.
But blotchiness on the fruit itself.
Right. And it's usually this occurs when your tomato is basically ready to harvest.
Okay.
So this lives in your soil as well. So this is in areas where maybe like Florida, where you get this really heavy rain, pounding rain, and this soil splashing up literally onto your tomatoes themselves.
So the fruit itself is where the soil is splashing up on this and emitting the bacteria that's in the soil, and it's laying on the fruit portion, not the leaves.
Right.
Okay.
So this wouldn't happen so much for us in the Midwest because we don't get that super heavy rain.
I hope not.
Who knows at this point anymore. But what you can do is you can mulch.
Measures.
You can mulch.
Okay.
You don't want to eat that fruit, but you can mulch, and this is going to... Mulching helps a lot of problems in the garden.
Yeah.
So then there's, on the other side of that, there's something called bacterial speck. Now, this looks more like somebody took a paintbrush with brown paint on it and flicked it at the tomato, so it's like brown little specks. And this is something like... It's kind of like late blight, but it comes... Because it's something you definitely don't want to eat. You want to remove the plants and trash them. If you grow in containers, you want to make sure you wash those containers with soapy water, hot soapy water. But this can come from garden centers and nurseries. So if you buy your starts, I mean, it can happen, and there's nothing they can do about it because it
transmits to the soil?
It'll just be in that soil for that year. So that's why you would just want to make sure that if you got those plants from the garden center, you just have to let it go. But if don't keep the little thing, the little seedling holders or something like that.
The cups.
Yeah.
So here throws another piece of advice. Always buy from a reputable garden center, because these garden centers, if it's just blah blah garden center that popped up. Their goal is to move the plants, make the money, disappear. If it's a reputable garden center, they understand the whole process, the chain of events.
It's going to come from the pop-up ones, randos, and then it's going to come from, to be honest, the big box stores. So stores that sell other things, and then they just happen to have a garden center.
For 2 weeks a year and nobody.
Right, or however long.
So lastly, let's talk about late blight, because we've mentioned that multiple times, and if you're not familiar with late blight, what that is, a airborne pathogen or bacteria, I guess, is there. What's the correct terminology?
Sure. So late blight is an airborne pathogen.
Okay.
It's fungal airborne spores that travel through the air, and it'll affect like a whole county.
This is later on in the season.
Right. So this is going to be like October, November. So if you're like us in the Midwest, we're pretty much done with tomatoes at that point. So you just rip the plants out, throw them in the trash, and don't eat any of the tomatoes.
You'll see a blotchiness on the fruit.
It'll be, yeah, and sometimes
like, almost like you put a torch to it and it's scabbed over,
mm-hmm.
as well as brown and black blotches on the leaves as well as the stem. Like Holly said, you don't want to eat the fruit. Even if the fruit doesn't look infected, harvest it, let it sit for 2 or 3 days. That will begin to form on the skin, as well as get rid of it. If you throw it in your compost pile, if you put it in the city for pickup, and those spores, obviously in a compost pile, you want the compost to be hot enough to break down the plant material. Those spores stay warm enough over the winter. Those spores can be introduced back in the garden much earlier in the year, and you'll have the problem much, much sooner. So just get rid of it. If you're in a cold climate like the upper Midwest, and you leave a few fruits or leaves in the garden, the coldness will kill the spores, so you don't have to worry about transmitting it to the next year's garden. Warmer climates, you want to clean everything out of the garden as best you can, and you'll reduce it to almost non-existent issues, for the following year. So that's just some of the multitude of different tomato diseases in which you have, you'll get several of them. We've gotten about half of what we've spoke about, and hopefully you don't have the other half.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.